Ladies and gentlemen, the editor of the Elyria Weekly Gazette, Mr. Will Rogers, Jr.
Thank you. I see where they recently banned another book in that big city back east. Reminds me what a wise old man once told me. He said, most of the best books and all of the best people increase in stature if they stay out of print.
Rogers of the Gazette, offering you again tonight, transcribed, another heartwarming story of a country newspaper and its friendly editor, and starring Will Rogers, Jr. It's a town between you and your destination on summer trips. A little too hot in August and September, and if you drove through in the winter, it would be a little cold. You might stop there for a cold drink in summer or a hot drink in winter. But the chances are you'll leave both times with the comment, why on earth do people live in a town like Elyria? Well, they live there because it's home. You can't know the town or its people by driving down Main Street, and you can't hear its laughter or its tears, or know its easy, unhurried pace. So, next time you're driving through, why don't you plan to stop a while? Introduce yourself. Elyria might surprise you. It's surprised city people before. Now, you take that fellow there walking along the square. That's Doc Clemens. You could find out an awful lot about Elyria if you followed Doc around for a few days and nights.
Afternoon, Eve.
Afternoon, Doc. Hot enough for you?
Yeah, sure is. Afternoon, Hardy.
Afternoon, Doc.
Hot enough for you?
Yeah, sure is.
Emma. Emma Hunter, stop where you are.
Oh, I was afraid you'd be the first one I run into, and here you are.
When I say flat on your back for 3 days, I ain't just saying it for practice, Emma. I said 3 days, and it was yesterday evening when I said it.
And I told you I'd do it if I could. You doctors make me sick. Just take to your bed, you say. You need a good rest. But you never quite point out who's going to mind to the cooking or the grocery shopping or empty the pan under the icebox.
You just march right on home now.
Flat on my back for 3 days. How? Just how?
Is that your grocery list?
Indeed it is, and I mean to get it if you'll quit barking at me out here in the hot sun.
I'll get the groceries, and you get on home and get to bed like I told you.
Now you just stop being so bossy. I'll get my own groceries, thank you very much.
Emma, we'd both feel mighty silly if I picked you up and carried you home.
Why, of all the... I don't think you could pick me up.
No, I don't think so either. So skedaddle on home with you before I have to prescribe for the both of us.
Oh, Doc, you make me feel such a fool.
Go on.
I'll go, but take a good look at the celery, Doc, and don't bring me any if it's reedy.
And leave the icebox pan be. I'll empty it when I bring the groceries. Doggone it all. Afternoon, Maggie. Will.
Hi, Doc.
Afternoon, Doc.
Maggie, what gets into women?
You'll have to do better than that, Doc.
I mean, what makes them so downright pig-headed stubborn?
Well, men, for one thing.
You asked for that one, Doc. Who'd you have a run-in with?
Emma Hunter, bless her heart. She called me yesterday and told me she was weak as a cat. So I stopped by there last evening, and sure enough, she was. Trying to do too blame much in all this heat and all. So I prescribed a tonic. Told her to take to her bed for 3 days, flat on her back. And I run into her just now, out in the hot sun, big as you please, thinking to do her grocery shopping.
Why, you should have picked her up right then and there and carried her home.
Exactly what I said.
Oh, you two make me sick. Emma's all alone. She's got to eat, look after her house, cook her food.
Exactly what she said.
Well, that's what gets into women and makes them so downright pig-headed stubborn.
Well, now, I'm sorry, Maggie. No real offense, you know. I just wish to high heaven Emma'd take care of herself, though.
Is she real sick, Doc?
Well, not yet. Just plumb tuckered. Wore out. A few days of good rest would do wonders for her.
How'd it be if I phoned Mrs. Weatherwax? I know she'd be glad to see that Emma had her meals and food brought in and things like that.
Well, that'd be a big help, Will. Sure would. I don't know how Emma'd take to it,
I'll talk to Emma. She'll be all right about it. Don't forget, when you talk to Mrs. Weatherwax, Will, give a little warning about your guest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Company coming, Will?
Yeah, sort of. Student from the journalism school at State College. Coming for a week to see how a country newspaper's run.
Yeah, kind of like an intern.
Kind of. Ran into Dean Bradford fishing a few weeks back. He told me about this scheme he's worked out with other country editors in the state. And I told him to send me somebody. And, well, here, this wire just came a while ago.
Arrive Tuesday morning, ready for action. C.J. Griffith. Sounds like a willing worker.
Yeah. Only thing is, though, I don't know what we'll be able to offer him in the way of action. We'll find stuff for him to do, I guess. Good thing, you know, actual work on a country paper. After all that theory they pump into you at school.
Yeah, well, sounds real practical to me.
There may be a murder for him to report.
Huh?
If you don't call Mrs. Weatherwax and tell her he's coming tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I better do that, all right. Want to hand me the phone, Maggie?
Uh-huh.
Well, yep. I got to mosey along.
Stick around, Doc. I want to talk to you about that overpass business west of town.
Well, I'll stop in a little later, Will. I got a errand to run just now. Oh, say, I saw Hardy on the square a few minutes back.
Did you talk to him?
Nope, just spoke.
Speaking of pig-headed stubborn... Hardy Rutledge is doing a pretty good job of it, and he's a man.
Well, I got to give you that, Maggie. Well, we'll talk about it later, huh, Will?
Fine, Doc.
Afternoon to you.
Bye, Doc.
Bye.
The phone, Will?
Huh?
Mrs. Weatherwax.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're in pretty early, aren't you, Maggie?
Morning, Will. I haven't been here long. I just woke up earlier than usual this morning.
What's happened to the office?
I straightened things, just a little.
You sure did. I didn't know. For a minute, I thought it was in the wrong place. Looks like a regular parlor.
We ought to keep it this way all the time, Will. It looks nice, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Don't know whether we'll be able to find anything, though, but it looks real nice. You do, too, Maggie.
Oh, well, it's just a dress I haven't worn for a while.
Don't think I've ever seen it.
I don't think you ever have either. But I've worn it before. The church, things.
Hmm. Goodness. Pencil all sharpened. Typewriter's been dusted. Say, what's that? A new blotter on my desk?
No, I just turned the old one over.
Oh. Well?
Well?
What's it all about?
He's due here any minute now, Will. And if you don't have any pride in how the Gazette office looks to a newcomer, well, I do.
Oh, the kid from journalism school. What's his name?
C.J. Griffith.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he ought to be real impressed with us, Maggie. We sure look nice.
Maybe you could run over and get your suit pressed before he comes, Will.
He won't be looking at me. Not with you all slicked up like that.
No, Will...
Of course, he's just a college boy, Maggie. He might be too young for you.
Will Rogers. I think that remark was entirely uncalled for. Whatever I've done for the Gazette, and I won't have you thinking... Hello. Oh, you must be Rogers.
Well, yes, ma'am. I'm Will Rogers.
Glad to know you, Rogers. I'm Griffith.
Griffith?
C.J. Griffith. Didn't you get my wire?
Well... Yeah, we did, only... Well, this is my assistant, Maggie Button, Miss Griffith.
Button?
Miss Griffith?
Well, sit down. Sit down. I'll be honest with you, Miss Griffith. Maggie and me, we were sort of expecting a boy.
So was my mother.
yeah.
Will.
Yes, Maggie?
Do you think the day's too young for me to go out for a cup of coffee?
Too young?
Too young.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Go right ahead, Button. Rogers and I can handle things here.
I'll bet you can at that.
Cigarette, Rogers?
No thanks.
I've read your crusade. What's blocking it?
Crusade?
The railroad crossing west of town. Isn't that your current cause?
Well, I guess you could call it that. If you came in that way this morning, you must have noticed it's a blind approach from both sides.
And you want the town to build an overpass, according to last week's Gazette.
Oh, well, I've been plugging away at it a long time now. To tell you the truth, Miss Griffith, I don't care if they build a pass over it or under it, just so long as they make it a safe crossing.
Who's the opposition?
Well, no one's exactly against the idea, but Rutledge and some of the other boys of the town council say it's too expensive for the taxpayers to bear just now. And low taxes are a blame good argument any time, only it shouldn't apply where public welfare and safety is concerned.
Any way to discredit Rutledge?
Hardy? Why, he's a fine man. We just don't see eye to eye on this proposition, that's all.
It'd be a break, though, if we could dig up something on him. You know, a personal scandal, something like that.
No, ma'am. I don't see any advantage to that at all.
I just thought that...
Yes, well... ma'am. Now then, I want... Well, good morning, John.
Well...
Say, hold it. I want you to meet someone.
I got work to do.
This is Miss Griffith, John Reed.
Hello, Reed.
Miss Griffith takes journalism at State College, John.
Good Lord.
John's our press man. In fact, he's our press room, from handset to linotype. John's the whole show.
I've worked in the shop a lot at school. I know typefaces from Gaudi to Gothic, and engraving from line cuts to photolithography.
She gonna be around here?
This week. Part of her journalism course.
Keep her out front.
Now, John, take it easy.
One of her feet in my shop and both of mine walk out.
John's sort of temperamental-like.
I didn't mean to offend him. I thought he might be interested.
Well, you just kind of have to handle him. Old devil, he must be near 80, maybe older. He's worked with all of them. Including Bill White at Emporia.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, but don't tell him that. He's the meanest, most cantankerous, sweetest old guy in the world. Talk to him about Bill White. He'll come around.
I'll remember that.
How was your coffee, Maggie?
Fine, Will. Just fine.
Well, we've been jawing here, getting no special place in a hurry.
Oh, I ran into Mrs. Weatherwax on the street, Will.
Oh? Oh, say, Miss Griffith, that reminds me. I better be taking you out to the house so you can get settled and all.
Fine with me.
I'd call Mrs. Weatherwax before I went home, Will. I sort of got the impression she had something she wanted to talk to you about.
That's so?
Mm-hmm. Of course, she may have packed up and left by now, because, like Miss Griffith's mother, Mrs. Weatherwax was expecting a boy.
You're listening to Rogers of the Gazette, starring Mr. Will Rogers, Jr. We'll return to tonight's story in just a moment, but first, tomorrow night, Dorothy McGuire stars on CBS Radio's Thursday Theater. She'll be heard as an elevator operator who falls in love during her annual 2 weeks vacation and finds that a return to the city changes things considerably for the man she's smitten with. It's sometime every summertime. And it's yours for delightful dramatic thrills tomorrow night on most of these same CBS radio stations. And now, we continue with the second act of tonight's show.
Mrs. Weatherwax, if you'll just stop what you're doing a minute and talk this out with me. Mrs. Weatherwax. Now, please, Mrs. Weatherwax, just stop a minute and listen to me. Miss Griffith will be down in a moment, and we're not going to have another chance to talk. Oops, sorry. We've had people stay here before, and you never seem to mind. I don't see that it's any different this time. I know that I told you last night she was a fella, but you see, last night I thought she was a fella. And then this morning when she came to the office, well, she wasn't. Now, Miss Weatherwax, please, before you turn that on, honest, it'll be all right. She'll just be here till Friday, and you'll be here all the time, and, well, everything will be just as proper as it can be. Honest, Mrs. Weatherwax, as far as I'm concerned, she might just as well be a fella. Oh, Mrs. Weatherwax.
Well, she certainly looks straight through me.
Oh, Mrs. Weatherwax is all right. She's just a little sort
temperamental.
Well, sometimes. Sweet old soul, though. Sure takes wonderful care of Jill and me.
Where'd you say your daughter is?
She's been staying up at summer camp. Sure miss her. Well, I guess the thing to do now is take you around town and introduce you to the folks. That's a big part of being a country editor, Miss Griffith. You got to know your town, your county, and your people, and their problems.
What's your housekeeper's problem?
Nothing I can change with an editorial.
Well, I'll tell you, Rogers, if it's all the same to you, suppose I just tackle Elyria alone and unannounced. Meet the people my way and see what I can do with them. I'd like to write some first-hand impressions. You know, a roving reporter looks inside Elyria.
Well... All right, Miss Griffith. Only one thing about folks here. Just don't underestimate them. Oh, and don't overestimate the power of the press.
First call we've had. You bet I will. Bye. No, second thought, I think I'll leave you off the hook a while. Will, where on earth have you been for the last hour?
Oh, I stopped and poked around the library a while after I left Miss Griffith. And then coming back, I fed the pigeons in the square. Better hang up that phone, Maggie.
Mm. Well, just sit down and prepare.
Oh, say, remind me, Maggie. We got to raise a little ruckus about that fountain in the square. Now, those blame pigeons...
That's if we ever put out another edition of the Gazette.
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about Miss Front Page Scoop.
Huh?
C.J. Griffith. We've had at least a dozen calls in the last half hour. You take it.
All right. Elyria Weekly Gazette.
Will Rogers, I think the dad-blamed heat's got you, and it's too hot a day for me to be running the temperature.
Doc, what's the matter?
This C.J. Griffith of yours. She tells me you authorized her to go around town taking down her impressions of people and things.
That's right, I did, Doc.
Well, she's got the wrong dad-blamed impression of me, and I'll state it publicly if I have to. I don't care for her methods. Now, you listen to me.
You're just getting yourself hotter, Doc.
And in a minute, I'll reach my boiling point. Just tell her for me that window peeping is a minor offense, and I don't give a hoot what she thinks. I'm calling on Emma Hunter as her physician. And the bald-faced fact that Miss C.J. Griffith caught me emptying Emma Hunter's icebox pan in no way connects us romantically.
Inside Elyria.
She's been doing it all over town, Will. You want to see the list of people who've called?
Not now, Maggie. I want to later, though.
I'll pick him up Friday then, John. Thanks a lot.
Hello, Will. Maggie.
Hi, Hardy.
Mr. Rutledge.
I had a little printing job for John, but as long as I'm here, I'd like to ask a favor of you, Will.
Do my best, Hardy.
Will you lay off for 1 week?
Lay off?
Just this one issue of the Gazette. Will you leave out the editorial about the railroad crossing?
I don't see what that'd accomplish.
Well, it'd mean a lot to me. You've stirred up a lot of public pressure, and it's making my job a lot harder, Will.
Yeah, but a proper crossing would mean a lot to Elyria, Hardy.
All right, Will.
Excuse me, I'm in a hurry.
Pardon me.
Hey, wait a minute. Aren't you Hardy Rutledge?
Oh, yes, I am.
I'd like to get a statement
from Miss Griffith, come here and sit down. That's all right, Hardy. Just forget about it.
Okay, Will.
I don't get it, Rogers. I've been looking all over town for him. I saw his picture in the town hall.
Sit down.
Yes, sir.
Is that your inside Elyria?
Yes, but they're just rough notes. I'll have to type it up and polish it and... Hey, what are you doing?
Miss Griffith, I want to have a little talk with you about facts and truth and ethics and the responsibility of the press. Well, let's take a look at her. Pretty good-looking front page, huh?
Looks great to me, Rogers. Want me to proofread it?
Don't let John hear you say that. Nobody checks even his galley proofs, except to admire their beauty. Oh, Maggie!
Yeah, Will.
What are you saving this fudge column for on page one?
Oh, in case there's any change in Mr. Maynard's condition at the hospital. We've got the story now, though. There, column six.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, if I go home now, Will?
Sure, yeah. Wait a minute, we'll all go. John can put the Gazette to bed without us, and happy to do it.
Oh, I don't want to go yet. What I mean is I've followed this week's issue all the way, Rogers. You go on, but can't I stay till John runs off a few at least?
Well, sure, if you want to. Only it's pretty late to be coming home all alone.
I'll ask John to tell me another story of when he worked for Bill White in Emporia. He'll see me home.
I guess he will at that. Tell him to use his own judgment about filling in that space on page one. Either let it out or use a filler. He'll do what he wants to anyway.
I'll tell him, Rogers. Good night, you two.
Good
night.
Good night. Good night.
How does page one look to you this morning, Rogers?
Fine. Hey, what's this about?
I wondered if you'd ever see it. We got ourselves a real scoop. I don't think Hardy Rutledge has a leg to stand on now.
At press time last night, the Gazette learned that Hardy Rutledge, long an obstacle in the way of the railroad crossing issue, is joining the construction firm of Clark and Yancey effective today. The Gazette will watch with interest to see if Rutledge's attitude towards the public safety will change in view of his new affiliation. What in the holy name happened to John?
John? He doesn't deserve the credit. I do.
You?
Well, certainly. After you and Button left last night, I came across some cards Rutledge had John print up for him to pick up today. I wrote that story.
I don't know what to say.
It was just one of those naturals, Rogers. You say in your editorial that Clark and Yancey submitted the highest bid to the town council for building an overpass. And now, after blocking you all the way, it looks to me like Rutledge was bought off.
Miss Griffith, I'm not very interested in how it looks to you. Even if it's true, and I can't believe it of Hardy, you had no right to print that story.
Why not?
We run the only printing press in town. Hardy had to bring his work here. And it's just not ethical to use that kind of information without authorization.
Rogers, I thought you'd be proud of me.
And more than that, before you make wild charges and speculations about Rutledge's attitude, you better be careful and do some factual investigation. And then when you do that, you print your findings with your opinions on the editorial page. Oh, well, there you are, John. I want to talk to you.
Great little reporting job on page one.
Will?
John, I don't understand. Why did you print it?
To teach you a little something yourself about the responsibility of the press. A good country editor stays with his paper until it's ready to hit the streets. You never saw Bill White go home before his work was done and leave some lame brain collegian to run amok?
Yes, you're right, John. Dead right. But what about your responsibility?
Young darn fool. I just printed one copy of it, the one on your desk. Went to a lot of trouble to teach you a lesson. See that you remember it.
Oh, morning, John. My card's ready?
On Maggie's desk. You can pay Will for it.
Well, I guess you saw the cards, Will.
Well, not officially, Hardy. But from what I understand, I don't know whether to congratulate you or not.
Well, it's a good move for me, all right. But it's a better one for Elyria.
How's that?
It's why I asked you to lay off for a week, Will. I'm going with the firm on the condition that they do a rush job on that overpass construction and that they do it for the amount the taxpayers voted to spend for this purpose in the last election.
Oh, that's wonderful, Hardy. Sure wish you could have told me this before.
And Clark and Yancey wanted to stay out of the picture for business reasons until now. You'd be surprised, Will. If all the facts weren't made known at the same time, some irresponsible people might have misinterpreted this whole business.
Yeah, you're right, Hardy. I sure hate to think of what had happened if they had.
Have just heard Rogers of the Gazette, starring Mr. Will Rogers, Jr., with Georgia Ellis as Maggie Button. Tonight's story was written by Kathleen Height and produced and transcribed by Norman MacDonald. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear, Karen Steele, Harry Bartell, Ann Morrison, and Edgar Berrier. The special music was composed by Renee Garagank and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. You have to face facts when you talk about Korea. And the facts are that there are more than 35,000 war orphans in Korea. They not only have no parents, but they have no shelter, no warm clothing, no food. They are not responsible for their condition, and some of them can remember no other. Their government tries to help, but the best it can do is a cup or two of rice a day for each. To save the kids of Korea, send a contribution to your local care office or to CARE New York, or CARE Los Angeles. This evening, CBS Radio and Alfredo Antonini's orchestra invite you to another Straw Hat concert over most of these same stations. It's strictly informal. So for sprightly summertime melody, stick around and get a cheerful little earful of CBS Radio's Straw Hat Concert. This is Roy Rowan speaking. America listens most to the CBS Radio Network.